Here you have a chance to go to New Orleans, and you take a dolly in the middle of Dudley.
This season is a complete failure. There's no other way to couch it. Other than ending the streak against Florida, this season has been a gigantic pile of crap.
Back to the phones we go. I can't even believe that this happened. By the way, we're in official bonus time now. 3 hours. We're 3 hours in. Those of you still up with us, I just want to encourage you, since we're doing this tonight, labor of love here, and we're going to stay on some extra time. Please, if you will, leave us a tip if you think about it. I want to give a special shout out to Peter Poker tonight. Please, if you will, go to the website at TonyBasilio.com, and it's great. People take care of us. Out there fighting the big radio companies. It's a jungle out there, y'all. I'm not gonna lie. It is an absolute jungle out there. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is our number if you want to get in with us. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Tony Shaw.
Hey, brother. Welcome in.
This brings back Kentucky, the 2011 memories. And
there you go.
We're seeing all these jobs open up. Now we're going to see some of the assistants go places. We're going to know Butch's future here pretty soon with the assistants. They got to tell him either let some of these assistants go they're going to do what Texas did Rick Barnes. I don't know if he's going to get who he wants, because they know that he's on a short leash here, and if he gets a bunch of no names, his time here is done. Same way with Dooley. How many coaches did Dooley bring in his last year? Pretty much everybody but what, Chaney? So I mean,
you're under the supposition that Butch Jones wants to be here, and I don't think he does.
He looked like he could care less tonight. He had that look on his face.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He had that little pity party for himself on Wednesday. He's checked out of this deal. I mean, that's what I saw from him.
He knows he's fired, or he knows he's going somewhere.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah.
Now,
he looked,
we don't know what that is, but yeah. He acts like he would not want to be there tonight.
Yeah. He was Tom Herman coaching that Memphis game yesterday. That's what he
I
looked
agree.
Like tonight.
Hilda, you knew Tom Herman was. Tom Herman knew that that was going to be his last day in a Houston apparel.
Now Russell dug something up earlier. I don't know if you were listening, but Houston in their release, Russell, tell this caller what they put in their release.
There was some language in there that said, basically talking about the departure of Tom Herman, and said, our next coach, we want it to be somebody who builds champions for life.
Okay, I did see something like that, and that did kind of flash my eyebrows. But, Colorado is playing in the Pac-12 championship. I think Butch Jones was he their top choice?
He was their coach. He said yes to them. He was flying out there to see them, and he took our job. And I bet he's regretted it several times since then, because this is too much of a fishbowl for him. That Boulder, Colorado, with a low expectation level out there, would have been a perfect spot for a guy like that.
And I think they were going to fire Mike McIntyre from the way they started their season, just like Penn State was going to get rid of Franklin. I mean, yep. And the way it looks like now, I think Helfrich is. I mean, his hours are just numbered now at Oregon. It looks like he's
Oregon's
done.
Open. Yep.
So I mean,
Notre Dame's going to be open. Tennessee might open. Texas A&M might open.
We don't have an AD in place. So I mean,
I love this place. They had five epic months.
I've ever seen.
It's totally idiotic. The fans deserve so much better. They've had 5 months to know what was coming with Dave Hart. They knew it was coming with Jimmy Cheek back in June, Russell, and they somehow managed to get into this situation here going into December. How?
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not like we're switching presidents. I mean, look at this Davenport lady who's coming in. And not to be totally sexist, but do you think she gives a damn who the athletics director is over Tennessee? Joe DiPietro could have hired Blackburn 3 months ago. He could have been preparing for this and ready to fire Butch Jones tonight and go hire his football coach.
Yep. And by the way, his team won today, and they are moving on in the playoffs in 1AA.
Our last three games, we've made the opposing offenses look like Alabama. I mean, I think someone put up a stat I saw on Facebook tonight. We've gave up almost 2,000 yards of offense these last three games. That's my and these are the three, as far as on paper, talent-wise, three of the worst teams in the SEC.
Wow.
I mean, the SEC it's really gone all to hell. Outside of Alabama, is there really anybody any good, really? It's really just a bunch of above-average teams, really.
I mean, the SEC has never been worse, and the East has never been worse in my lifetime than it is right now.
This is the worst divisional champion team I've seen in the SEC.
And they still can't win it.
Florida. Yeah, and I mean, really, I think you can make a case for 11 teams ranked for second place, tied for second in the power rankings. I mean, the SEC's a little down. Alabama's just that dominant. Nick Saban's going to win the SEC every year till he leaves there. I mean, I'm just about sold on that. Butch didn't, he acted like he didn't want to be there tonight.
I don't know if he
might know something we don't, but, Bob Shute might not want to be there. He might say, "Hey, I'm going to Delaware." I don't know, but it was just a strange game. And I mean, 2-2 against Vanderbilt. Come on, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Good talking to you. In fact, you're 2-2 against Delaware. Are you ready for this, John Bryce? Number for you. Stat sent to me that I've looked to verify in Tennessee's media guide. No Tennessee football coach has lost multiple games to Vanderbilt since M.B. Banks did it from 1921 through 1925, Russell. No sitting coach has ever done that.
Well, to be fair to M.B. Banks, I mean, that was a trying time for our country, fresh off World War I.
Yes.
You know, roaring 20s, what with the flappers and all, lots of distractions on campus. It was a difficult time.
Nealon did it twice, but he did it over two different eras, so... Poor Butch Jones.
Well, that's how you spin it if you're Butch, right? I've done something that hasn't been done since the general. Me and him have something in common now.
And the way he poses on the back of the Jumbotron like he thinks he's the general. JD on the text box, if Butch bolts, does Shoop get his head coaching gig? To which I replied to him.
What? Shoop get Butch's job?
Yeah, which I replied to him, I hope you're huffing paint. Or are you huffing paint? And then hashtag hope so.
This has got to hurt Shoop's chances at the Delaware job, don't you think?
No, not if Delaware wants to run around like a chicken with their head cut off. And
they are the hens, the blue hens.
Well, there you go.
They could change their name to the headless hens.
Only. You talk about the drizzling shits. Matt Cody, I love you. If you keep asking people to follow you on Twitter, on my Periscope feed, I'm going to block you. Now, you had a nice call tonight. But I'm fixing to block you. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. It's like there's a weird resignation in the air tonight. Tonight's weird.
Very weird.
Welcome into our next caller. Hello.
Thank you, Tony, man. I love the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you being there.
But I'm going to be honest with you, man. Die Hard Vol in Alabama. I mean, I live right in the heart of Alabama. This stings. This stings bad. Really bad. I'm not a Butch Jones fan, but, man, there's so much in Josh Dobbs. So much. Alvin Kamara made that mistake tonight, but there's so much there. How can you choke this away and, you know, be okay with it? This team, how can you be okay with that?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm a diehard Vol in Alabama, in the heart of Woe Tide Nation, and this shit just stings so fucking bad, man. I hate to use that word, but it's bad. You don't choke away this season like you did.
Now, Russell, correct me if I'm wrong, both of you. We were going to A&M, we were 5-0, right?
5-0. Agreed. Okay. 100%. Okay.
So, since then, what's our record since the 5-0? Butch likes that 13-4 number.
So, it would be 3-4.
That 13-4 number means absolutely nothing when you... I mean, it's like Mark Richt. Let's look at Mark Richt in Georgia.
Okay.
Okay. As a Tennessee fan, looking back on the Dooley and Kiffin days, was we not screaming, hey, man, it's okay, just bring us 10 games, bring us 9 games
a
year?
Yep.
That's not okay. You've got to win the big games. He can't get it done. I mean, can you give me an explanation for South Carolina?
I've never seen anything like South Carolina till tonight. Tonight's game was absolutely strange.
I can't grasp it. I can't understand it. I mean, how do you have this team, man, and let it go to what you did? And I'm going to leave it with this, man. I love your show. Listen to it every night that I can, that you're on. But who would you get right now to replace it? Tom Herman's off the table. Who's there? John Gruden?
John Gruden has no interest in anything.
But that's what I'm saying. Is that wishful thinking?
Yes. Guys that are out there the guys that are out there in Tennessee's realm would be guys like P.J. Fleck.
He's a Butch Jones
on steroids. It's exactly what he is. I don't want a popcorn fart like that. Sorry.
So I mean, all right. My next choice to you, man. Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly is a guy I'd go after. That Mullen guy would be a real interesting person to talk to because you got Garantano on your roster.
Shiano's very intriguing.
Shiano would be extremely intriguing to me because of what he did in South Florida when he had Rutgers really going. Plus, he's one of those failed NFL coaches who have tremendous success when they come back to college.
But, I mean, there's nobody out there. I don't know where we go. I don't know where we turn our head to. But it's more like, man, there's got to be a new start. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going through a bad situation. I don't know where we go. That's where I want to hear you. I mean, I heard you talk the other day about you didn't like Chip Kelly, but who else?
Because I don't like Chip Kelly at all because what he did to my Eagles. But as a college coach, he's incredible.
But Chip Kelly is a scary thought at Tennessee right now with the roster we have coming back. John Kelly.
Yes.
Jared Guantanamo. I mean, it's the list goes on.
Yes.
It's a scary thought. And that's who I feel could do it, but would we throw him the money to get him here?
That has not been the history of the money people here, no.
But if we've got enough money, man, and this is what irritates me so bad, and why we've got to get the front office in line, we've got enough money to put in Needland when it's a great place as it is. Don't put that money in the stadium. That stadium is magnificent right now. I've been all over the country. Put that in a coach and bring us back to where we should be.
If you put
Thank
the money
you, brother.
In
Great
the
call.
Coach,
love your passion.
The stadium stuff will pay for itself. If you put the money in the
if
coach
he wins.
And the coach delivers, you won't have to worry as much about raising the money for the stadium.
Trouble with a guy like Chip Kelly, those of you who are advocating him, he is a terse, arrogant, ignorant, non-friendly, doesn't want to be bothered, hates fans, football savant. I'm just telling you.
You just described Saban, Meyer, and Harbaugh.
865-200-5402 to our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
You know, I really feel bad about saying this, but you know, when you look at people and you talk about, don't forget your rating, you know, that's a Tennessee term. Don't forget your rate, R-A-I-S.
Don't get above your raisin, baby. You got it.
Exactly. You know, Bush Stone's dad was what? He was chief of police.
That's right.
Now, I have to be very careful how I state this because I'm afraid to be offensive. But, Bush is a cop. Okay? Now, I want to say this before I say anything else. I love police officers. I defend their right to live. You know, their lives matter. I mean, I will protect them if needed. But I say this, you know, we've all known a cop. A cop is different than a police officer. A cop is a know-it-all, do-it-all jerk. And all I say is, you know, he needs to go to the police force somewhere, and he'd probably be a great assistant police chief because his dad taught him a lot. But I don't think he knows shit about football, even though he likes it. I like football, too. I don't know shit about it. But anyway, that's all I'll say.
What?
Bobby, West Tennessee.
Thank you, Bobby in West Tennessee. Hey, gave
that was Bobby's
sign-off.
Second call, too, man. That's the guy who orgasms out his fingers.
Oh, Bobby, thank you. You just orgasm out my ears. Oh, my gosh.
Which cop from Police Academy is Butch Jones? I got to go with Tackleberry, right?
Oh, he's Tackleberry. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402.
He's Sergeant Stadenko.
Shoop's the guy that does all the noises. Let's go. Like this, when he's sitting there in his...
DeBoard's got to be Bobcat Goldthwait, right?
There's no question about that. Trouble with that movie is there aren't very many follically challenged people on it, which really screws up your short list. But let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. DeBoard is the commandant. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Lassard.
Yes. Okay, you're not there. I'm not negotiating with you. Hello and welcome into our next caller, Smartway Garza Law Firm, Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hey, Tony, this is Chris. How y'all doing?
Hey, Chris.
Well, I'm pretty kind of a practical guy in the way that I live my life and the way that I do things, and it's pretty clear that Tennessee has a problem, and my own personal philosophy on things is that you pretty well have to just work the problem, and it's pretty clear that Butch Jones is not the guy. But I start thinking about coaches like Butch Jones and Charlie Strong. And they come from the Big East, and they go into these absolute pressure cooker jobs like Tennessee and Texas, places that expect to win big. And it doesn't work out. But I think that they'd be pretty good coaches at other places. I mean, Charlie Strong demonstrated it, and Butch Jones, well, he kind of demonstrated it. But going forward, I'm looking at the field that's out there, and I'm looking at the qualities that a coach has to have at a truly pressure cooker place like Tennessee, like Texas, what you have to do to succeed there. And I think of guys like Harbaugh and Saban and Urban Meyer, they kind of handle it by being, you know, hard asses and, you know, almost imperial in the way that they run. And guys like Dabo Swinney and, you know, Spurrier when he was at Florida, they kind of handled it. You know, they kind of didn't sweat the small stuff, and they didn't have this adversarial, they didn't take things so personally. They seemed like they were really enjoying it. But I look at, Tennessee has to get this next hire right. Otherwise, you know, you get an otherwise decent coach like Butch Jones who is so combustible that just can't handle all of the weight, the emotional and everything that comes with this job. You know, if you go the route of a, my goodness, I mean, I don't see who's out there that I've seen coach, like they have good records at their smaller schools, but I just don't see the guy that's going to come to Tennessee.
Not either.
And be able to handle, like, Bob Shute was, we were jumping for joy hiring this guy. And I feel like there's something at Tennessee that just, it exposes weak-willed men. It exposes mentally weak people and shows them, like, what makes them lays out all their flaws bare for us all to see.
You know what a guy told me? I'm gonna give you something that I think you guys will find interesting. I have a friend who's in the coaching, profession, and he said the thing that's different about the Tennessee job versus most other jobs in the Southeastern Conference is within its own state, he calls it a monster job. And the reason it's a monster job is you have five major towns within the state, and if you're gonna get really good, you've got to be successful in all the areas, the Tri-Cities, that area,
right.
up into Virginia, up in that little area, the Chattanooga area, which encompasses Chattanooga, and then over in North Georgia, and players have come out of those areas for years. You've got Nashville, which is a big town, Knoxville, which is a big town, and then you've got Memphis to the west. He said just the landmass alone, and the amount of scrutiny that comes on a head coach is so different than it is in a place like, for instance, Alabama doesn't have, it's got a big town and then the town the college is in.
Mm-hmm. You've got Birmingham and Mobile.
And that's
basically
it. The Tennessee job, for that reason, is unique because all these newspapers need something to fill. All these TV stations need some, and everything that coach says and does is scrutinized. And so it's just a different, it's like a different deal. It's, and you're right. Butch Jones, I've said a couple times tonight, he's just not a man I relate to. Now, he doesn't have to be to coach football, and that's okay. There's a lot of people I don't relate to, whatever. But Russell, I don't relate to going in there for 4 minutes tonight when you know what you're doing. Well, that guy knows what he's doing.
Everybody knew
what he was doing tonight.
Yeah, everybody wants to talk about who's a good fit, what's a good fit. And really, that's stupid because you know who a good fit is? Somebody who wins. That's
exactly right.
People say Bruce Pearl's a great fit here at Tennessee. No, he wasn't.
Right.
A Jewish guy from Boston is a good fit in East Tennessee. Bruce
right.
Pearl was a good fit because he won big here.
Yep.
And if Butch Jones was winning big here,
yep,
we would all say he's a great fit. He embraces us. He gets us. All that stuff.
I'll tell you, of all the names mentioned tonight that I would think that Tennessee ought to kick the tires on, Dan Mullen's intriguing to me.
Sure.
Because of what he did with, he had the number one in America with that quarterback who absolutely he developed. And let me tell you something. If you can't sell, if he's got, and I don't know what his relationship's like with Dak Prescott, but if you can't sell to recruits the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, who's going to be either Rookie of the Year or MVP, either or, to this point in the season, I mean, to my caller, would you not say that's an intriguing name?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's pretty well done all you can do at Mississippi State.
Absolutely.
It's not 1998 anymore. He's not Jackie Sherrill. The West is not the crap pot that it was in the late 90s. They're not going to the SEC title game ever.
Ever.
So he should have been gone years ago, but
right.
Just has stuck around, I guess, to see the stadium get bigger.
Maybe.
The name I keep thinking about, and I haven't heard anyone say, I don't necessarily know a lot about it, but seeing him play this year has kind of intrigued me with Pat Narduzzi at Pitt.
I love him. He's another one.
If he were to bring Matt Canada
and
that offense, and then with the defensive mentality that they engineered at Michigan State, I'd be for it.
100%. I would take him tomorrow.
He's a guy you don't have to break the bank for.
Nope.
Most likely.
Nope.
Like I think that's a strong guy that can hack it.
Like, he's a man's man, is what he is.
Yeah.
He's a hard-nosed man, hard-scrabbled man who doesn't not going to sit up there and talk in platitudes.
No, it's a no-nonsense program up there, and they win.
And they're winning.
And they've won quickly.
Yes.
They played Clemson beautifully. They took Nathan Gator Pete, Tony. They took Gator Pete up to Pittsburgh in the cold and turned him into that.
Unbelievable.
A Clemson beating. I mean, it defies belief.
I appreciate your call.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Good call. Thanks. Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402. I got a little bit of this left in me. I guess just to say we went till 3 a.m. I don't know. I think that's something, isn't it? Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello to our next caller. That's you. Hello to our next... Okay, I'm going to try this again. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, that was neat. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, hey.
Really appreciate you doing extra time with us, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for being there. Can you talk into your phone or get off the earpiece or whatever that is? Thank you.
I'll make it happen. How's that? Is that better?
There you go. Thank you so much. Go right ahead.
Hey, really appreciate the extra time. I'm hitting back. I'm at the first cookbook at this point. Got two cars full of kids, man. We had a rough night. Yeah, interesting fact, coach didn't ride back with the team. Thought you'd find that interesting.
Wow, where'd you get that? That's really good.
Well, we waited after the game, stood in line, watched the players go through. Of course, you know, they were real thrilled. But yeah, the coach didn't make it back. But, anyway, got a two-part question for you. One is, can Hart, still make a pull of the string on Jones? And if so.
No. Let me tell you where Hart is before you get into that. Hart has been working, basically John Gilbert's been running Tennessee's athletic department for a while now, sort of a de facto acting AD, even though they don't say as such. And he's been drawing some pretty good reviews from some people I've talked to, a lot of people that I've, in my circle that have kind of gotten to know, Gilbert say that he's done an okay job. Dave Hart right now has been working on another project, something non-UT related, and he's been busy with that for the last several weeks. That's why you haven't seen him nor heard him. He isn't even around. He's nowhere to be found. He's already checked out. But go ahead with your second point. Go ahead.
Well, I guess it was wishful thinking, but I was thinking if the boosters got behind him to make a pull, he could maybe pull in Lane Kiffin. I think he's a hot coach. I think we could put some rhetoric out there about coming back, and if he was interested, we had feelers out there. I think that'd be the way to go. I think he would be able to help us keep our players, because I got a big concern about losing some of the recruits that we're looking at, and losing this backup quarterback, you know. Now some would say he wouldn't go with an option guy, but you still got Dormany there, too.
Let me say this about Lane Kiffin. This is what I'm hearing, and you can take it for what it's worth, but Lane Kiffin's wearing his welcome out in Tuscaloosa. That's why you're starting to hear him mentioned as being a part of the package with the LSU situation. I understand that Lane's extracurricular activities are swallowing him. Nick Saban is sick of it. Lane Kiffin, if I thought for a second that he could come here and behave maturely as a mature human being and not act like a overactive, libido-stricken 15-year-old adolescent who just got his first scent of a woman,
right?
I'd be all in favor of that, but Lane's problem is that Lane's forever 15. And it's who he is.
Well, what intrigues me is that I think he's had a little bit of growing pains down there, but yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you. I don't know. It's just tough. Like I said, I got two cars riding back. We got 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds. It gets pretty tough telling them, Tennessee used to be good. We used to beat them all, and that's why they all hate us.
My son is the same way. My son is 17, and I went upstairs during a break, and I said, Anthony, you know it's going to get better. He said, yeah, when I'm off at another college somewhere, it's going to get better, Dad. He said, it's never been anything since I've been alive. And I went, well, that is kind of true.
I do think the big challenge right now is maintaining the guys we got. I think we got a lot of talent, not a lot of depth. I think the jury's out on a defensive coordinator. I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass with the injuries. You look at our linebacking core tonight, man, and they're second level and they're getting blocked and they can't make it around the corner to catch a guy. I mean, it makes it really tough to stop these bottom feeders on the east. But
I wonder if Butch had a do-over, if he'd have run off some of the guys that he ran off last several years. That doesn't look like such a good decision now. But anyway, just thinking out loud here. Hey, listen, I appreciate you, man, and I hope you have a good, safe trip back. And that's an interesting nugget. Let me ask you this. Of all the games you go to, have you ever seen Jones not be with a team after a game?
No, typically he rides back, but the trooper that he typically rides with, he left without him. Looks like. So it would be interesting to find out more on that. But the only other option we got is an NFL coach, and I don't know who that would be unless you pull in Peyton.
Maybe Jim Bob Cooter up there with the Detroit Lions, who are bound to the playoffs. Problem with Jim Bob Cooter is he's going to be in line for an NFL job, and that's what those guys want to do. I'm sure he doesn't want to come recruit athletes. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. You ever thought you'd live in a parallel universe where Jim Bob Cooter would be a name that you'd say is hot?
He could be. If you want to go the fit route,
yeah.
I mean, he might be the guy. He's 35, 36 years old, however old he is now, I don't think he's ready for the demands of this job. But
no.
I could see a couple of years down the road he being, you know, the Johnny Majors, Phil Fulmer, guy with ties to the university that we're all clamoring to bring home.
Does a hell of a job, man. If you watch the Lions play, he does a really nice job.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Well, I'm happy to see the Lions play well. It's good for everybody involved. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Russell Smith is with me till close to 3 a.m. Russell, tell the living listener where they can find you.
Fox Sports Knoxville weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. Do a show called The Drive. You can listen here in town on 1340 a.m. and on foxsportsknoxville.com.
If you want to tip us tonight, you can go to TonyBasilio.com and leave us a little something, and I'll be sure and bless Russell out of that. And I'm going to tell you something. When I walked in here tonight, I felt absolutely horrible. I don't feel very good right now, but I feel better. It's interesting how us being here just kind of makes you feel at least, I guess, not like walking death like I did a few hours ago. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Tony? It's Travis.
Hey, Travis. Welcome in.
It should have been 35-14 at the half. They took their foot off the pedal again.
Yep. I agree with that.
Let me ask you this. Can you name five players on this team that has gotten better under Butch Jones since they've arrived?
Go ahead, Dobbsy. Five players that have gotten better under Butch Jones since they've arrived. Go.
Oh, Cam Sutton has improved during his time here. Barnett has gotten better.
Yep.
Dobbs has gotten better, although not much of a leap from his junior to senior.
I don't know about that, but go ahead.
He's better than he was as a freshman. Malone has definitely improved this year. The lights come on for him.
Yeah.
There are a couple of guys that...
But as a college, he's been here 4 years. You should be able to just name off five people.
Oh, you're right.
Boom, 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 boom.
No, you're right.
And let me ask you this. Can you name five that has not got better under Butch Jones? And I guarantee it can be a lot quicker than the five that's gotten better. The whole offensive line. They went downhill since last year.
Yeah,
they did.
No, they did.
There's your five right there.
There, and what's interesting about that offensive line is the more and more people I talk to about that offensive line tell me that it's that scheme that really holds those guys back. The whole catching and catching and catching rather than firing off the ball, which is Butch Jones' philosophy. And to be honest with you, he's turned Tennessee, he talks tough, he's turned Tennessee into a really passive, really weak football team that gets whipped by people now. Vanderbilt whipped Tennessee tonight. I mean, if you really want to face the facts. Yeah. Vandy. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that, but Vandy flat out whipped Tennessee's ass tonight, made him like it.
And Todd Kelly Jr.'s got to be moved to an outside linebacker. He's still trying to catch somebody.
Yeah.
He ain't caught nobody yet at the safety. He is so slow, it's not even funny.
Running is not his forte, but he's a nice, heady, smart, always around the football player.
I agree. That's why I think he should be outside linebacker.
Yeah, I don't argue with that. I think he'd be a nice outside linebacker because he's got very instinctive. He's been instinctive from the first minute they threw him on the field. But he's not a speed guy. He's not.
Right. I got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather win and lose ball game 45-40 or 13-10? What would you rather be watching?
The best game of the day was that Michigan Ohio State game in my mind, by far. It's classic football. It's classic football, man. Every possession counts. Every field position counts. Every decision by the coach counts. What we watch tonight is arena football. It's just not for me. But
well, then you don't want Chip Kelly. Then you won't. If you won't Michigan, Ohio State, then you want Wes Miles.
There you go.
What's out there right now?
Yeah. Hey, Michigan tried to hire him several times. You know, Les Miles is interesting. Les Miles, I'm going to tell you guys something that nobody knows. Les Miles tried to get the Purdue job, and they were not interested in him. He talked to them several weeks ago. Now, that's not out there. You can believe that or not. I'm just telling you, most people see Les Miles as an old man whose time has come and gone, kind of like Philip Fulmer when he tried to get the Kansas job, and Kansas basically passed on him and I think hired Turner Gill during that cycle.
That worked out well for them.
Yeah, it really did.
And I also called you during the week also on your show. I also think that if I'm hiring a defensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
I give that guy the option to bring his staff with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, here's your staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, train them what you want them to do.
But
I let that defensive coordinator bring his staff.
In Butch's eyes, though, he already had the best staff in America. See, that staff they brought from Cincinnati? Well, that's what he told us. That's definitely.
I know. But Butch has told us a lot of shit, too, and it ain't come true. But,
oh.
Guys, I love the show. I appreciate you doing this after the game. And have a good night.
Thank you. Russell, we'll get our final call in here of the night. It's past 3 o'clock Eastern time. I think we've done our duty. It's only 3 hours and 40 minutes in, so we've gone 40 minutes past. And let's get our final call of the morning / evening. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome in.
I just had a question.
Go right ahead, please. Go right ahead. You're up. Go right ahead, please.
All right. So what do you think about Alabama? Like, do you think they're going to get the title? Or, like, just curious what you think.
Dubsy, Alabama, I don't see anybody in the country that's beating Alabama, unfortunately. Russell?
No, the thing is, I don't think they're that as good as they have been offensively.
Right.
But that defense
is just
dominant.
I mean, tonight in that game,
it's crazy.
It's crazy how great they are. And they just come at you in layers, and they've got three ends that are going to play in the NFL. Three frontline college defensive ends on one football team.
And as much as I despise them, it will be, and I don't even know if I'm going to watch, but I would like to see them just hold Florida down and just slap them around and shut them out, put up about 50 points, and just humiliate the Swamp Donkey for the second year in a row.
Are you an Alabama fan?
No, I like Georgia.
What about Georgia today, man? What is that about?
Lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's really not, yeah.
And not at all, actually.
I mean, Georgia Tech is not that great, but...
No. Weird day for the Southeastern Conference, because on one hand, a couple of quality wins, the Kentucky game. We have an idiotic... Thanks for the call, man. We have an idiotic conference, Russell, in that we're playing these ACC games in the final game of the season when we should be building drama. Look at the Big Ten today. The Big Ten built drama.
Yeah.
What do we do? What are we building here outside of Alabama and Auburn? What are we building?
If we talk about Dan Mullen a little bit as a possible candidate, about Mississippi State just shellacking Ole Miss in Oxford. And I don't know if you saw any of the Right Reverend today, Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
But he looks like a defeated man.
Oh, come on. Back to the phones we go. The NCAA is circling. Hugh Freeze is that guy. He robbed five banks. He got away with it. But now, on his sixth one, he went back to the well once too often, Dubsy. Mm-hmm. And they've got the whole bank surrounded. The SWAT team's outside. And he's, in his mind, thinking, am I going to shoot it out with them and do suicide by cop? Or am I going to let them take me alive?
He's got to go the Dillinger route there. Go to jail. Try and stage a breakout.
I watched the FBI files last night on Netflix. I was looking for something kind of innocent to kind of fall asleep to. So I grabbed this
watching.
I grabbed this episode about these bank robbers. That's why I've got this thing down. And I thought to myself, well, that's good. It ends with the most grisly shootout. It's 1986, the most grisly shootout in the history of the.
Oh, that one that inspired the movie Heat.
Yeah, right there on the street. No, it was in the streets of Miami. But let's get our final call in tonight. Hello and welcome into our final caller.
Hey.
Yes, welcome in. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
One thing. Randy Saunders, a coach, a player, a man, a scapegoat. He's a guy.
Randy Saunders?
Yep.
It's the French version of Randy Saunders.
Thank you for the call. Let's get our next call in.
Randy Saunders.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. That's you. Final call of the night. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome in. Yeah, you're on the air. Welcome.
Sounded like Butch Jones there for a minute. Hello.
Coach, you weren't on the bus tonight?
Joshua Henninger.
What the hell? Well, Dubsy, I think we've been at the party. I think the party's gone on long enough. And that was idiotic. Russell, tell the living listener.
That's kind of a fitting way. The show kind of ended the way the season ended for the Vols. Just
an absolute popcorn fart.
Well,
Dubsy, where can they find you?
They find me on Twitter at Russell the Drive, and on Fox Sports Knoxville weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
So I've been. We update our blog every day, and it's been incredible. It's been a great football season. We look forward to being with you. I'm going to be doing some of these after basketball games. So check the app and spread the word for us. And we will be back after the bowl game. We'll also be here on signing day. And when news breaks out, we break in. For instance, if you get up on Tuesday and Butch Jones has called it sayonara sukiyaki, I want to show you something here. Every one of these lights that you will see, the periscopers, those are phone calls. So I leave you tonight at 3:08 a.m. with four calls on hold. I just can't do this anymore. My head hurts. And, whatever. I think we're going to see a tumultuous next week and month or so. I thought that even with Tennessee going 9-3. I always thought it was going to be tumultuous. I think this thing is going to be just all-time crazy. no matter what happens. And I really appreciate you being there. Hey, Russ, thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for your friendship, man, and all you do.
Oh, man. Appreciate you. It's been a fun season.
Really?
Kind of. That was at one point.
Well, we had a lot of fun. We really did. Those wins made me feel like a little kid and made me remember why I love doing what we do. That was just getting a taste of it.
And then I think that the next month or so, and maybe the next couple of months, are going to be really interesting if there's a coaching change for one reason or another. And even if Butch Jones does stay, I think that it's just going to be really interesting to see how
the
people
intrigue.
React.
Yeah, the intrigue, because people want to love it. So you're going to get back on and get back in line. And I'm never going to make it. I'm never, ever, ever going to make what we do about a coach again, though. I'm never going to make that. And I want to encourage fans to do that as well. If we're stuck with him for a year, let's enjoy every game. Hope he wins. All that stuff. It has been really great. I want to thank everybody that showed up tonight out there, a couple hundred strong out there at that listener watch party. That blew my mind. I mean, it's Thanksgiving weekend. There were so many people there. And I thank you. Man, we're blessed to get a chance to do this. And Dubsy and myself, we both have families. His is younger than mine. But they make a sacrifice during this time as well. My son's right above us here, losing sleep. And I want to acknowledge that, my lovely wife as well, Dubsy's lovely wife. But it's really a pleasure and an honor serving you, and I want you to know that. And look, as we leave tonight, if you're heading to church in the morning, say a prayer. Say a prayer for Houston and Coach Jones. Till we meet again, we say a prayer that they'll actually be dumb enough. Well,
say a prayer that David Blackburn will get in here and fix this mess.
Dubs, you look good tonight. You're 1794. Is that when we've been established?
Do what?
We were established in 1794, huh? Our balls?
Yeah. Well, the university, the state, something like that. I don't know.
Wonder if they lost to Vandy twice in a row back in the 1790s. Wow. Poor Butch Jones. That was awful tonight. Russell, you have anything else to say?
I believe we've about covered it. When we're starting to assign which Tennessee football coaches play which character in Police Academy, and we hit that mark about an hour ago, it's probably a sign that it's time to pull the plug on the fifth quarter.
I'm saving this thing here, so let's just talk for a minute while we do that and get our next call in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got to end it on a good call, man.
Yeah, let's just keep going until we get a good call. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, it's Butch Jones.
Hey, Butchie.
I missed the bus.
Why'd you miss the bus, Butchie?
I let my team down, so I figured I didn't need to ride back with them.
Did you walk?
No, I caught an Uber.
Well,
Uber got me.
Butch, did we lose the championship of life tonight?
Oh, you better believe it.
Mm. That's got to hurt.
Beat the hell out of us.
Mm.
Do you feel like anybody has minimized your accomplishments this season?
I feel like I need to go to Purdue.
I think it's a good idea, Butch. I don't know if they'd have you, which is kind of like really odd. Mm. We have a kid from Texas right now on here on Periscope who's really been excited about you maybe going to Houston. He thinks you'd be a home run there. Tell him some of the things that you have planned for Houston.
For Houston, well, what we're going to do, we're going to lose a lot of the games that we're supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go to any real big bowls.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to kind of, we're going to have a dual threat quarterback. It's just going to be lots out when he's playing run and pass, but we're just going to make him a passive quarterback. We're going to get big leads in the first half and take our foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
the teams come back and beat us. But I can't wait to get to Houston.
Well,
can't wait to get there and go to work.
Coach, I really appreciate everything you've done here for us. It's been great, and it's been really
true. Hey. They're actually showing us on ESPN right now. This is friggin' ridiculous. I can't believe I let this happen.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate your apology. It's interesting. I mean, you don't say anything like him, and you don't say anything like him because he doesn't apologize. But let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're in the overtime segment. This is the non-recorded version. We're like in the dark. We're in the dark interwebs right now.
Tony, am I on?
You are on like Donkey Kong.
This needs to be a two-person. They need to go after two people. Offer Bob Stoops everything. If he turns you down, get Narduzzi at Pitt. Period. Make it quick. Be done with it.
You would take Narduzzi
at Pitt? Absolutely.
See, we need a man. We need a man to take this job.
He's
next.
And toughness. He comes from D'Antonio.
Yep.
A physical football. Absolutely, I would take him, but I would make Bob Stoops say no first.
We need an absolute man to take this deal.
Yes, and
I mean, I'm not ripping Jones when I say that. Do you think that sounds like I'm ripping him?
No, not at all. Because a man doesn't stay for only 4 minutes for the press conference.
Correct. And men don't talk like he does. Men don't talk like him. Men I know don't talk like that.
And all he has to do one time is say, "I apologize for our performance."
That's it.
I apologize.
One time.
It's on me. And by the way, thank you for the fans that came tonight in 30-degree weather.
Thank you.
You know, anything like that. But we definitely need a man's man, and I think Narduzzi is our guy. If Bob Stoops says no, Narduzzi is our guy. Now, I think you're going to have guys like Brian Kelly show interest.
Yes, he is.
Larry Fedora show interest.
Yes, he is.
Guys like that.
Yes, they are.
That are going to show interest that we don't want or need at this time. We go for Bob Stoops. If he says no, it's got to be Narduzzi. Let's get it done. Boom, boom. Get on with recruiting.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony.
The interwebs version of the show here on Periscope's taking a real turn for the worst, Dubs. I can tell you that.
What's the conversation like?
People are saying that Butch Jones wears size 6 shoes and things like that.
Oh.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Well, you hang in there long enough, and this is kind of what happens. What's up, brother?
How you doing, Tony?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you what. Man, I love you guys for what you do for us pathetic fans. Because I thought it was, I tried to get on with you for hours. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting a busy signal, and I fell asleep, and I woke back up, and you said you were going off. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to try to call these guys, see if I can get in there. And
damn if you didn't.
And you were kind enough to take my call. But one thing I did is I reached, you know, I heard you, and Tony, I hate to keep beating the drum, but I heard you talking about John Gruden making $9 million a year. Mm-hmm. And I researched it, and he's actually making 6.5. Which is pretty good for doing Monday Night Football and getting on there about one morning a week. But, you know, Saban's making $6.9 million a year. I think they're paying Harbaugh like $9 million a year. Do you realize he's
Yes, he's making incredible. He's making incredible money, yes.
And I really respect the clone. And the clones told me that he knows for a fact that Gruden was on campus a couple of times and interviewing for that job. And the reason that he didn't take it was they wouldn't come through with the money for his assistant coaches. And, you know, you mentioned that there are three coaches out there. Mm-hmm. And that's Saban and Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. And the only other one I know that's a for sure home run hire is John Gruden. So why don't we just go look at all the money that they're making at Alabama for a successful program? Why don't they just go and hire Gruden?
Dubs, you have a gun on you?
I might have something out in the car.
I don't believe you could hit Jefferson City from there.
No, I don't want to hit Jefferson City. I want to hit my temple.
Okay.
This John Gruden stuff, seriously, makes me want to swallow some lead. Let me tell you something.
Tony, do you not respect
Wait a second here. John Gruden loves to flirt with the jobs. He has zero interest in taking any job. He does it to everybody. He did it to Texas. He does it to everybody. He has zero interest in coming out of that booth.
Okay, let's talk about Narduzzi then. Did you see how many points they gave
out
today?
I love that guy. Yeah.
Hey, I like him too, but, hey, how about get a guy like that, and then try to get a guy like Charlie Strong for your defensive coordinator?
Charlie Week.
Isn't Narduzzi a defensive guy, though?
Yeah, he's a defensive guy. He's a very good coach.
Only being a head coach for 2 years, though, that kind of. I'd like a
wider
sample size.
Problem with all this stuff is, see, that's why Larry Fedora is a guy who's always been kind of intriguing to me. Larry Fedora is intriguing to me because, Dubsy, Larry Fedora is a guy who took a Southern Miss deal over that was absolutely dormant and turned him into a virtual world beater. And I'm believing that a Larry Fedora is the type of guy who would be insanely good here.
I was intrigued by Fedora when we hired Butchie Boy.
What'd you call him? You're out of here. Even at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll blow you up for saying that, you clown.
What happened to Jeekers Boy, Georgie Boy Quarles last night? Maryville, first time not going to Cookeville since 03?
Wow. That's an anomaly, isn't it?
Sad.
See, that's another guy I would talk to.
I don't know, man. You lose to Oakland last night. It's obvious that...
Man's slipping.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
That's a guy right there.
Who you going to get, Miraville? Who you going to get?
That's a guy right there I believe could really coach. Don't laugh at me. That's a guy that could really coach some major college football. I don't think there's any doubt about that. As I've been told many times by various people, coaching is coaching. Now, I realize I'm giving Jeeker, shall we say, what is good by saying that. But, hey, man, that's so be it. Let's finish up with one final call on the outer web here at 322 for some stupid reason. Hello and welcome in.
Tony, Smitty, how are you?
Hey, Smitty.
Hey, man, I appreciate you and Dubsy, you know, staying up this late. I don't know why you do it. I don't know why y'all do it. I don't know why I'm calling it, but...
Because we love this stuff. You know, we love each other, and we've got a special thing here at Tennessee.
I'm be honest. This is... There's a lot of losses that I've been a part of where I've been embarrassed and, you know, walked out of the game or watched a game and been madder than hell. But this game right here, this is a fanny team that couldn't move the ball in the first, what was it, the first nine games, they moved the ball against Ole Miss, and then all of a sudden, like, they're a world beater against us. And we make Derek Mason, who I call Radio, look good.
I think his Kevlar vest tonight that he wore,
he looked like he was going to war. because he had a bulletproof
vest. Yep. Yeah, he looked awesome. He looked like the way Butch Jones should dress when he goes to the tactical range. Because Butch Jones looks like a guy that's getting ready to go have a traffic stop. He does.
Butch Jones should be wearing that vest going to a press conference.
You realize, as Vol Doc Hunter told me here, we were 2-0 this year versus Florida and Georgia, and 0-2 versus Vandy and South Carolina. That's a moronic